The regular season is officially over and UMass went out with a bang, beating BC at home, UNH on the road, and they might have a spot in the national tournament when it's all said and done. Lots to talk about. Let's go.
Trevino shoots, he scores! McCart, one timer, score! Hollinger fires, he shoots, he scores! UMass does it again! Watch out! Watch out! UMass are national champions!
High character.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 178 of High Character. UMass had two games over the weekend, one against BC, one against UNH, and they needed to win both in order to still have a chance at the national tournament, and that's exactly what they did. They won both. They took all 6 points. Vibes are incredibly high right now as we go into the postseason. Maybe the most happy podcast that we've had since winning the tournament game last year. Who knows? But, man, good stuff all around. Vibes are incredibly high. My name is Cameron, and as always, I'm joined by my good pal, Evan. Evan, how you feeling, man? We got a little time off. We get to skip the opening round of Hockey East. We get a home quarterfinal game. Vibes are pretty awesome.
Yeah, no shit, man. We're feeling pretty good. I mean, definitely not. I'm not as like I don't know if this is gonna be like the happiest pod since. I mean, maybe it could be. Like, I feel like I'd be struggling to find like a very definitive moment where like happiness like that could occur. You know what I mean? But I'm still coming from the perspective of there's still work to be done. You know what I mean? Like, we put ourselves in a great position. We have done everything that has been asked of, you know, like us in the past couple weeks. You know what I mean? Like, within the context of the season, we've done it so far. You know what I mean? That's great. Number two seed in the tournament. If you put that in a vacuum, that means we would make the final. You know what I mean? Like, we would be the, you know, one of the top two teams in Hockey East. But like, again, there's still more work to be done. Like, the fact that we're even talking about this right now is nothing short of a goddamn miracle considering the first half of the season. You know what I mean? Like, there's numerous moments where we can count our blessings, you know what I mean, to even get to this point. So definitely very happy in that regard. I mean, the performance this weekend was exactly what the doctor ordered. Very happy with how we did that. And I'm just trying not to look too far ahead, but it's very hard not to, especially considering that the regular season's now over. You know what I mean? Like, there are more important games ahead of us and way more stuff to play for, but the fact we're even in the mix with all that stuff right now is extremely encouraging, and I can't wait to talk about it in this episode.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are going to be tuning in wanting the talk about our standing at the end of the regular season, so I guess we could talk about a little bit of that before we get into these games, just kind of the lay of the land. So I mentioned at the jump, they need to win both games, and that's what they did. Moved from fourth to second in the Hockey East standings, which is huge. You get the bye. You get the second lowest team that enters the quarterfinals as an opponent. So all good stuff there. You get to avoid Providence, who's the number one team until the championship, which is cool. So all good things on the Hockey East front. I think it's the highest finish they've had since, was it 2022? I know they had a chance to come in first that year, and then they got swept by BC in the last series.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, I think so. I think you're right on that.
So Hockey East, things are looking crazy, especially considering in mid-January we were literally last place in Hockey
Correct.
East.
Like, that's the biggest thing. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely insane climb right there. And then also going into this weekend, we were 20th in the pairwise or NPI. Obviously on the outside looking in, and after the dust settles, after our two wins and all the other scores came in from around the college hockey landscape, we're in 14th. That, as of right now, that is in the tournament. Obviously, we'll have to win at the very least one, most likely two Hockey East tournament games to have a shot at that at-large bid. But just knowing, I mean, you can listen back to us from months ago, thought it was dead in the water. We were like, all right, rebuilding year, like, let's just get better as the year goes on, like, see what we have here kind of thing and regroup for the next season. But this team, man, they put themselves right back in it, and out of any Hockey East team, they have the best chance to get themselves an at-large bid. I think it's technically like 40% right now, but I mean, when you have Michael Hrabel as your goaltender and you're as hot as UMass is right now, I really love our chances here just to win two games in Hockey East, and hell, why not win the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, when you put it like that, Cam, I mean, again, nothing short of a miracle that we're here. What I will say, and again, just to reiterate, I don't know if I was fully on like the dead in the water train. You know what I mean? Like, again, like,
I was, I'll admit that.
No, but I'm just saying, like, again, like, I was, you know, I feel like UMass hockey is the one team that you can plead patience with, right? Like, again, I don't, this isn't a full on UMass athletics podcast, but like, again, when you look at, you know, the other two major sports, you know, that are kind of associated with UMass and football and basketball, we've been seeing pleading patience for that for ages now. You know what I mean? And look at where that's got them. Carvey, on the other hand, you can make that argument for days. You know what I mean? And say, hey, second half is where we get stuff done. That's where we really lock in. And they have been, you know what I mean? Like, the, Michael Hrabal's been beyond locked in. Like, the team, you know, around him has been getting goals and has been doing what's necessary to win games. You know what I mean? Like, that's been the biggest thing. Like, I've been looking at, you know, like, in stat rankings and stuff like that, like all these like super advanced statistics. I'm gonna level with you guys. Those advanced statistics say that we kind of suck. You know, like, they're like, we're basically a below average team according to every major advanced analytic that you can think of. But we're winning in the major statistic that matters, which is wins. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we're doing. So, you know, it goes back to the classic argument that I feel like I bring up every single time. You know, it's scoreboard versus, you know, whatever these stats nerds got to say. You know what I mean? And right now, scoreboard's looking pretty good. And, I mean, at least in terms of NPI, which is basically pairwise, stats nerds are also backing us up for now. You know what I mean? Like, again, might need a little bit of help. We might need some things to break our way. We're basically praying that all of the, you know, all the ranked teams that are currently in like the top 16 right now, we're hoping that they all win their, you know, their conference playoffs right now. Because if anybody else that's outside that top 16 sneaks in, it's going to screw up our chances pretty bad. You know what I mean? So we're definitely hoping that, you know, there's not going to be too many shock upsets in the other conferences tournaments, but we'll see how that goes. You know, we'll be doing a lot of scoreboard watching over the, you know, next week or two.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you look at the NPI, every conference except the Atlantic is represented multiple times in the top couple. So, like, it's funny, in this year where there's so much parity, it actually seems like the least likely year to have those bid sealers from the conference tournament, which is huge. Honestly, the biggest threat is somebody else winning Hockey East that's not UMass or Providence. But other than that, man, I think it's pretty cut and dry right now. Two wins in the Hockey East playoffs. We're feeling pretty safe, feeling pretty good, and obviously want to win the whole thing.
Yes, sir.
So getting ourselves to a point where we could even say that, like, we control our own destiny, and it's really good. So let's get into these games. First one, home game against BC, third time meeting them this year after losing twice. Obviously, scary stuff, BC. We all know the track record. We all know the history going in. A little bit of a change to lines from the last series. We see Mikey D'Angelo finally slot in. We weren't sure if he wasn't in there for injury reasons or just trying to get all the seniors in, like a weird substitution kind of thing, but he's in there. And I would say he was maybe not extremely noticeable this weekend, but it was obviously just nice to have another center back and have some forward depth finally.
No, 100%. I mean, he's definitely, I don't want to say he's waned off a bit in the second half of the season, but like, He's been inconsistent, you know what I mean? And that's both inconsistent with his play, but also inconsistent just being in the lineup, you know what I mean? Like, it's very hard to, you know, gain momentum and kind of just know what you're getting week in and week out with a player when they're not healthy, you know what I mean? Like, he's been kind of similar to how we've been talking about Cam O'Neill quite a bit, you know what I mean? Especially in previous seasons, like, just hasn't been in the lineup enough, you know what I mean? Consistently just to kind of be that guy going forward. So good to have him back. You know what I mean? I do like him when he is healthy. Like, he was our top line center at points of the season. You know what I mean? Like, he's probably the biggest case for a guy that's been thrown up and down the lineup. You know what I mean? Like, literally going from, you know, top six forward to a bottom six forward. I'm hoping that he slowly kind of makes his way up the lineup once again, because that means that all of our guys are doing good. You know what I mean? Like, it's just really tough to beat out the likes of, you know, Justin Kerr, who's been red hot in the second half of the year, and Jack Atlantic, who's been absolutely killing it as well. So, you know, I don't really think it's a bad thing that he's, you know, lower in the lineup. I think it's just, you got to ride the hot hands, you know what I mean? And we got some pretty hot forwards right now, so it makes sense.
Yeah, even Nick Van Tassel is getting his licks in. He's been pretty solid over the last couple of weeks as well. So
Sure. Good
to see the forward depth contributing in that way. We get into this game in first period, not a lot to write home about. No score after one, but it was kind of an ugly period for UMass. Kind of lucky to have no score after one. BC all over them. I think the shots were 10-2 in favor of BC. a lot of odd man rushes. It seemed like they were just a step ahead of us for the entirety, almost the entirety of that period. But per usual, Michael Hrabal keeping us in it, making some 10 bell saves. And I mean, that's exactly what you need if you want to make a big playoff push as a hot goalie.
Yeah, I mean, dude, this was kind of a rough period. And I mean, it sucks because, like, I mean, I feel like we kind of knew what we were getting against BC. Like, obviously, BC has been, I mean, solid this year. I mean, obviously, leading up into this game, they were riding a bit of a low. You know what I mean? Like, they weren't really looking as hot. I mean, they'd just gotten swept by BU prior. You know what I mean? So, not a whole lot of good things happening for them. But, like, you know how dangerous they're going to be. Like, Higgins was filth. Dean Letourneau's filth, which we couldn't say last year. Dude literally had 3 points, I think, all of last year. Now he has, I think, like 33 or something like that. So, I mean, what a jump from him. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to have a lot of skill. They're going to have a lot of speed. And I feel like they showed that off a ton. Like, if I'm not mistaken, there were a lot of two-on-ones we were giving up in that first period. Like, they were hitting us with speed like you wouldn't believe. Like, mid, you know, neutral zone turnovers, they were making us pay. You know, we weren't getting, you know, really good, like, high-to-low or low-to-high passes. They were breaking the puck out of their own end off the rare chances that we were able to get some zone time. And they just looked crisp as hell. You know what I mean? And again, like you mentioned, Cam, Hrabal was keeping them at bay. And that's the biggest thing. I mean, you can get away with having sloppy periods if you have good goaltending. And that's exactly what Hrabal gave us. And luckily, we were kind of able to figure it out over the next two periods and eventually win this, which is super encouraging.
Yeah, I felt like as this game went along, UMass got their feet under them more and more just from period to period. First was a tough look. Got a little bit better in the second. And then a few minutes after the intermission, kind of against the grain, BC was kind of controlling the pressure yet again. UMass has an odd man rush coming up the other way. Cam O'Neill finds himself on the right faceoff dot, fires a wrister home, absolute snipe, finds the back of the net. I mean, if this was my goaltender, I think I'd maybe want this one back. There wasn't any traffic in front, and it was from a decently far spot away, but great shot from Cam O'Neill. I think it was under the blocker. Good stuff from him. He's been hot lately too. It's been good to see him scoring. He's definitely been due coming from the first half of this season. And it's 1-0 that lasts all the way to the end of the second. It's low scoring game, but UMass found a way to make it count. I think it was their third shot of the game.
Yeah, no, well done from O'Neill, man. What a freaking moment for him. Like, I'm looking at the replay right here. I mean, I will say, maybe, I don't want to say you'd want that back. That's like, that was a snipe. You know what I mean? And it was from a good area. But, like, yeah, I feel like Hrabal would have made that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, that's where Rabble's been. He's been locked in like right. That. Like, a locked-in goaltender is going to have that. I find it really funny on the replay. You can see, shout out loyal pod follower Matthew Chipman. We love Matt Chipman. You can see, like, kind of like a delayed reaction from him, like, after it goes in, and you can see him right on the camera, dude. He finally gets up and starts selling beer in hand. Looked like a Mass Lager. Shout out, what was that, White Lion Brewing? I forget, whatever. Not a sponsor for the record, but if they want to, that'd be kind of cool. But, yeah, no, hella, just freaking beautiful snipe from him, and what a selly, too. You know what I mean? Like, he, again, Cam O'Neill, man, like, he doesn't get a crazy run in the lineup, it feels like. You know what I mean? Like, he's rarely been like a top six guy. That's probably not exactly what he was being recruited to do, but he's been showing up in the second half of the season in some crazy moments. You know what I mean? Like, he's looked really, really good. I remember, I think it was the Merrimack series, you know, like a month or two ago, where he looked really, really solid. I like his game. You know what I mean? He just needs to be healthy, and he needs to be consistently in the lineup in order to contribute, and that's what's been happening over the past couple months now. He's looked electric. And shout out, who's that? Is that Mellenbacher on the assist there? I mean, just a simple little pass. You know what I mean? But just having just like the overall awareness to know that, you know, Cam O'Neill with a full head of steam is going to be able to rip this. You know what I mean? And he kind of had a bit more like forward momentum skating wise, and he wasn't as covered. That was just a really, really nice little layoff. Like, a simple, unselfish play led to a great goal there. So, yeah, it was great. Mullins was rocking, dude.
Yeah, and they take that lead into the third period where they haven't – I like the stat I saw watching the UNH game. We haven't lost a game this year leading after two.
Yeah.
Obviously, that continues this weekend. Big, stark difference to last year. I feel like we blew a lot of one-goal leads going into the third last year.
So, a little bit.
Good to see that. Hanging on to leads, obviously. We go to the third, few minutes in, UMass finds himself in some penalty trouble. It was kind of a difference from the first two periods. The penalties were 5-2 in favor of BC in the first and second period. A couple of too many men calls. Honestly, one of them should have been the new premature substitution rule that we just learned about. But nonetheless, UMass couldn't really take advantage, and UMass finds themselves on the penalty kill in the third period, and BC does take advantage. Their best player, James Hagans, future Bruin, and maybe a week from now, he finds himself on the puck in the high slot, fires a wrist at home. Rabble gets 95% of it. It goes through his five hole and slowly rolls into the back of the net to tie the game. Even when he's giving up goals, man, he's still saving a good chunk of it. Just wasn't meant to be right here.
Yeah, I think Hagans actually finished it off behind him. I think it like rolled in behind, and then I think Hagans like followed the play up and then tapped it home. I mean, good hustle effort play from him. You know what I mean? Like, the decent shot, follows it up. I mean, he's a quick skater. You know what I mean? That's why he went with the top 10, you know, whatever the hell he ended up getting drafted. So, I mean, that'll do it. You know what I mean? Like, he's a good player. Hopefully he's in a Bruins jersey in, you know, a week, inshallah. But we'll see how it goes.
It could be less than a week from when we're recording.
Yeah, I mean, we're hoping, right? Like, I just don't want to have to face this dude no more. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing about BC. They get the high-profile guys. You know what I mean? Like, you know who you're going up against every week or, you know, whenever you do play them. So, he's a scary dude, but just, I don't know. That was just an annoying freaking goal against. You know, like, you're thinking, like, oh, Crabble's been managing to find everything all night. Like, that was, like, the perfect, like, NHL 14 save animation where he, like, looks behind him with, like, his glove, like, near his ass to try and make sure that he has the puck covered. And he just didn't have it this time. So, unfortunate, but if that's the lone goal that we give up to BC, I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world. You know what I mean? Like, Rabble was on point regardless. So I was a little nervous, but I was like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm hoping we don't lose this here. I don't want to choke it away, but a little nervous.
Yeah, and kind of on theme for what this team's been doing, very quick answer. Less than a minute later, Owen Murray finds himself as part of a 2-on-1 going towards BC's goal. It looks like a very clear cross-crease pass type situation, but he keeps the puck himself. Fires a wrister home, and he's able to find the back of the net. He has been on quite the scoring run lately, scoring a lot of goals. Incredible celly, loud crowd pop at Mullins. It was pretty much full there for a Thursday night, which was awesome. You see all the emotion from Owen, which we love to see, in what could have been at the time his last home game at Mullins. So just incredible stuff, gives UMass the lead. Ends up being the game-winning, deciding goal, man. This is just like – we were in, like, the perfect seat to see him come back towards the net with the emotion and the celly, and it was great, man. Couldn't be any happier for the guy after something like that.
Dude, maybe we could have made this a custom award, but if there's an award for, like, you know, just most electric and, like, most emotional player in college hockey, bro, just hand it to Owen Murray now. Like, perfect captain material. Like, this is what I talk about when you talk about, like, a vocal captain and, like, a captain that, like, leads on the ice and just, like, gets people going. That's what you want to see. Like, he did, like, the classic, like, what is it, Gladiator or whatever, like, are you not entertained? You know, like, that was kind of the vibe that I got from the celly. Like, he was just fired the hell up, dude. What a snipe from the kid. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that he wouldn't have had that in his locker, because I think the first time I ever did see that in his locker was, I think, in that main game, right? That back in his freshman year, where I was like, yo, hold up. Like, he can score. You know what I mean? And that's, like, kind of what clicked to me. I was like, I think this kid's going to be here for a long time, and he's going to do some great things. And lo and behold, we're seeing it right here. I mean, I don't know what it is about, like, you know, older, like, either junior or senior year defensemen scoring electric-ass goals against BC. Shout out Jake McLaughlin. But, like, dude, it's just a beautiful thing. So love it. Just, you know, a little bit of a selfish play, but I don't care if it goes in. You know what I mean? Like, and he was saying, I think during the I think it was the post game presser, like, they kind of had a little bit of dirt on Cloutier, the goalie. Like, apparently they were basically told by the coaching staff, or, you know, whoever was doing it, like, the research, go block her side on him. Both of our goals went in blocker side on him. Like, we figured him out. You know what I mean? Like, we had some scouting intel and it worked out. So, obviously, the information is useless if you don't have a shot to back it up. And Owen Murray had that shot. So, freaking beauty, man. And I was obviously really happy after that goal went in, but then I thought to myself, oh shit, we got another 7 minutes. You know what I mean? We got to survive. Like, literally, it was just Call of Duty objective, survive. Like, that was literally it, and I was nervous as hell.
Yeah, no, that was 8 minutes into the period. Still had another 12.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I don't know what that
really was. Clenching your butt, 12 minutes of hockey here. UMass takes two penalties. One of them was Owen Murray. One of them was Justin Kerr. So you had to kill two off in that time. And, man, this is one of the more stressful moments I could ever remember watching UMass hockey, just given the stakes and everything like that. Obviously, they're able to get the job done in the end. BC pulls the goalie, and the defense holds it together, some strong kills. I had a moment as the final buzzer was going where I had like a hot flash, lightheaded, almost passed out moment with how stressful that was in the moment. crazy. I never had that before. Crazy stuff. But just so awesome to get the win in front of that crowd. The crowds have been fantastic in the second half, man. Everything's coming up UMass right now.
Yes, sir. Ooh, I like that. Well done. But yeah, man. I mean, I don't know what else there is to say. Like, you know, screw BC. You know what I mean? Like, we beat them. It kind of, I mean, I wish we got the season series on them. You know what I mean? Like, it was, you know, they're always a tough out. But when it mattered, you know what I mean? Like, when we play at home and, like, you know, I don't want to say our season's on the line, but, like, kind of, you know what I mean? Like, Considering, you know, where everything's at, I mean, it was a huge 3 points. Like, and that was the biggest thing was, you know, even if it went to OT, that's still kind of a loss. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of all the NPI implications. So, the fact that we held strong and we really needed a regulation win, and that was what we ended up getting, that's hugely encouraging. So, you know, it's not even like we really were like, we didn't even look that great in the grand scheme of things. You know what I mean? That was another game where, like, we found a way to win. You know, like, we were still outshot. I don't know if we were outchanced. I mean, obviously, this game was a couple days ago. I don't have any, like, advanced stats next to me. But, like, considering all the two-on-ones we were letting up in the first period and, like, how we weren't really, like, converting all that much on, like, the power play and stuff like that, I mean, I wouldn't say that we were in the driver's seat during this game by any stretch of the imagination. But we found a way, and that's what matters. It's all about finding a way. If we can find a way for the next, what, 7 games that we play this season – We're national champions. We just got to find a way. That's all it is. So as long as we're able to get – we can play these games, and if we at least can get out there on the ice and be allowed to play, we can find a way. And that's what we did that night. I'm hoping that it continues.
Yeah, I mean, easily the biggest win of the season so far. So far. I want to make sure we have that disclaimer. The first time UMass has beaten BC at Mullins – since 2019, Evan already kind of talked about that game just a little bit. The Jake McLaughlin winner with 3 seconds left. We were still that students, game? Man.
I don't actually remember. I could have swore I looked it up after I thought of that, because I remembered the Jake McLaughlin goal, and I think I did some research. I don't actually think it was that game. I think our last game that we won was a 4-2 win. And I think that might have been later on that same season, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're talking about the one at Conte.
I could have swore. I swear to God, I looked this up earlier, and that because I thought the same thing. Did I actually just find like the wrong freaking game? All right. Well, you stall for time while I look for this.
I think you might have, because there's a lot of talk about that being the last one. But I mean, if that's the case,
no, you're 100% right. You're 100% correct. I just don't know how to read. I think that's genuinely what happened. Okay, understood. Yeah. So today I learned. So. How does that Vine go? We're throwing back to Vine. What? I'm Evan. I'm 28, and I never fucking learned how to read. Like, that's basically where I'm at. But, yeah, unfortunate, man. Good job, Cam. I should shut the hell up and let you talk, because you know these things better than I.
I do have a sicko brain for remembering games, especially the ones that I've been to. I remember Kale was awesome in that game, obviously the McLaughlin winner. But, man, it's been a long time. It's been 7 years since we saw UMass take home a win over BC in that building. Man, does it feel good. I mean, those are the only two experiences we have with it. But, man, that's a different level right there. That's just awesome stuff.
Dude, it's been a while, and we managed to get it done again with the stakes being super high. I'm extremely proud of this team. I'm super happy to see that, you know, see the way that it turned out. Obviously, I wish that we kind of beat them down a little bit more, you know what I mean, just in terms of like it being a bit more comfortable, but it is what it is. I mean, if you want to talk about getting beat down a little bit more, I mean, I think there were a lot of injuries for BC in that game. Like, they didn't have Oscar Hemming going into the game. And I think, like, three of their players left mid-game at some point. Like, they were getting kind of tossed all around the space. So, I mean, things got to think a little bit chippy after the game, too, because in classic BC fashion, they don't know how to lose any sort of class. But it is what it is. You know what I mean? We ended up getting the dub. I remember, like, Cam O'Neill, like, Owen Murray, like, everybody was, like, skating over to the student section, getting them fired up, looking over at us, you know, in Section H, getting us fired up. Like, it was a hell of an atmosphere, bro. You absolutely love to see it.
Yeah, I have a big quote from Carvey here. He said, wasn't particularly pretty tonight, but we found a way to win again. Michael Hrabel was very good again. I didn't like the first period. We gave up a lot of odd man rushes and didn't want to shoot the puck. True. We didn't have many shots halfway through the game and took three penalties in the third period, which is tough to do against a high-skilled team. I give the kids a ton of credit. We played a gutsy game. BC scores and we came right back. Owen Murray is really shining as captain and as a senior. I'd say the same for Lucas Olvestad, same for Cam O'Neill. I think those three guys tonight really showed their heart and soul and what it means to play for our program. I'm very proud of our program. It's our 20th win. It's tough. That's a real standard in this level to win 20 games in a season. That's our standard as a team, and it's tough to do. I'm proud of the guys. I'm very happy with this group. Again, it was far from our best game, but to beat good teams and not have our best game is a good sign for me. And I'd have to fully agree with that being a good sign. And it is crazy that it's their 20th win of the season. I mean, the last couple of years have been very, very positive seasons, no matter how you look at it. And they didn't get their 20th win until the Hockey East playoffs. So yeah, to have it at this point in the year, I know it's a little bit of a down year for Hockey East, but I mean, no matter what conference you're in, getting 20 wins in a season, that's impressive stuff.
And I mean, Carvey's quote basically just summarized exactly what we said the whole time. Like, crappy first period, found a way to win. You know what I mean? Like, it's great. So I don't think there's too much we have to unpack and dissect there, but definitely the vibes were high, and then it was all eyes over to the Whitmore Center against UNH on Saturday.
Yeah, going in one of those games that could be the most trap game of all time, just given the implications, how hard it's been to win at the Whitmore Center. A little bit of a shakeup in the lines. You see Owen Mellenbacher take Nick Van Tassel's spot as the third line center. Van Tassel goes to the fourth line right wing. D'Angelo still in as the fourth line center. And then an interesting note, we see Charlie Lieberman in this game. He took the place of...
He was Nyes, right?
Yeah, Landon Nyes. Yeah. We're not totally sure what's going on there. Hopefully it's just that bug that's been going around. Hopefully he'll be back in time for Saturday's playoff game. But I have to say, I think it was noticeable having Lieberman be in this game, especially in the first period. I think he got his legs in a little bit throughout the rest of the game. But I feel like we've just been rolling the same D pairs for about 3 months now, and it was just a little weird to see a change in that role.
No, 100%. I mean, it's been a little bit, I feel like, since we've had kind of that defensive stability, at least in terms of who's playing where, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And now that that's, you know, kind of getting shaken up once again, I mean, I agree. I don't think he was like a complete eyesore, you know what I mean? Like in my opinion, at least, but I wouldn't necessarily say that he was like a game changer. You know what I mean? Like he was like, I'd say relatively replacement level, you know what I mean? Like I do feel like he had a couple of moments where like he would have, you know, like a couple misplays or whatever, but that's going to happen. I mean, he's still, you know, obviously we're in March now, but like, again, you got to take, you know, a little bit of context in the fact, like, again, this dude didn't play at all last year. You know what I mean? Like he was out the entire year, I think with like a shoulder surgery or whatever. So like he's a sophomore, but effectively he's basically a freshman alongside everybody else. You know what I mean? So it's like, it is what it, like he's functionally a 22, you know, year old freshman at this rate, which, you know, I've been complaining about already with other teams doing, but a little bit different in the case of an injury. But yeah, I mean, definitely a weird little kind of line shakeup. I'm definitely hoping that, you know, Nyes is good. Cause again, when he's on his game, man, Nyes is damn good. You know what I mean? So especially considering how young he is, he's 100% getting drafted, you know, this June once the draft season comes around. But yeah, I feel like it was a little bit weird not having him in the lineup in what's effectively such a pivotal game.
Yeah, for sure. And early on in this game, kind of a lot going on. UMass goes to the penalty box. It was Justin Kerr for a hooking call. I personally thought it was a super soft call.
A little bit.
But that's just my opinion. But it seems like the hockey gods might have agreed with me just a little bit. Larry Keenan finds himself with the puck in the neutral zone. and does what it's turning into his signature move now. Step aside, Kale. Larry Keenan's doing this day in, day out.
Correct.
He takes the puck all the way in, navigating around a couple UNH skaters. He finds himself alone with the goalie. Nifty little move on him and finds the back of the net. Shorthanded goal. Man, Larry Keenan with these end-to-end goals, it's crazy. It's the ultimate, like, Shaq, I wasn't familiar with your game meme, but now it is his game. So we all got to adjust our expectations, I think.
Keenan's filth, bro. Like, that goal for a millisecond, I was like, oh, shit, he's signing with Detroit, ain't he? You know what I mean? Like, that was like, oh, man. Like, again, great problem to have. You know what I mean? Like, if you're, you know, your top players are making great plays like that, that's exactly what you want to see. And I mean, he, you know, for a guy who, especially like before he made it to UMass, like the way I always kind of saw him get described as like, you know, physically aggressive, big kid, but like still very raw. You know what I mean? Like almost kind of like a, you know, like for the basketball fans, kind of like Giannis, you know what I mean? Like didn't really have like the best filled out frame, but like the intentions were there, just everything kind of to get put together. Dude, he's putting it together. You know what I mean? Like, he initially kind of profiled out as like a more of a shutdown defensive minded guy, but his puck moving abilities this season have been stellar. You know, like, and whether that's passing or moving the puck physically while skating with it, you know what I mean? Like, he knows how to get offense going. And I mean, I think I kind of put in the description online that like he split the D. He didn't really, like, he kind of like split, like it was a winger and a defenseman, but his ability to just maneuver in tight spaces, especially with the puck, dude, for a guy of his size, it's just nothing short of incredible. Like, it was a beautiful goal. Didn't even have to flash the backhand this time. He took it on the forehand and just said, I'm just going to tuck this one. Like, no big deal. Literally walked it into the back of the net with the goalie on his ass. Like, you love to see it, man. I mean, just a wonderful goal, especially shorthanded. He said, I'm going to do this all by myself. I don't need nobody else. He's that guy.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I think the most recent comparison's probably a Scott Morrow, but like more defensively minded.
Yeah.
He's more of a complete package kind of player like that. And yeah, I'm pretty scared myself that he's gonna leave this offseason, but we'll save that conversation for a little bit later. We'll
yes, sir.
Couple minutes later, UMass on the penalty kill again, and this time UNH takes advantage. I believe this one was right off a face-off. Quick little one-timer from the D-man off the face-off. Finds the back of the net. A lot of traffic. Not much Rabel can do, honestly. Just you'd rather not find yourself in that kind of situation where you're having to kill off so many penalties in the first and it bites them.
Yeah, I mean, annoying. You know what I mean? And was it actually a defender? Oh, wait, hold on. Wait a second. Am I looking at the right one here, Cam? Or are you describing the right one? Did I just completely miss UNH's first goal? I thought this was the one that was Rabel screwed up behind the net.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I'm talking about the second goal. That's what I was.
Yeah, that's what I was sitting there. I was like, wait a second. I was like, because I was scrolling through on Twitter just to remind myself.
You're right. No.
So I guess I'll take over on this one. But
yeah, we both got one tough mistake down.
Dude, these things happen. So yeah, basically, it's such a simple play on the power play, like just classic dump and chase power play. You know, you rim it around the board, you try and get it out the other side, and just make a play. Rabel tries to corral this one in behind, and it kind of just took a funny bounce, for lack of a better term, skirts out to like literally the goal line on the right hand side of the net. And I don't know who the hell that was on defense that's tracking back. It might have been Zach Keenan. I think it's Keenan. That's freaking hilarious. He tries to follow the puck in behind, basically thinking that like Rabel's gonna leave it for him, you know, like behind the net. And now you just have a guy with the puck to the right hand side of it, and a guy in literally tap-in distance in the low slot, just with no net, or all net, basically, no Rabel. And as much as we talk about Rabel, dude, he's great when he's physically in the net to stop the puck. But if you're not physically there, you can't actually make a save. So, yeah, I mean, that sucks. I was annoyed as hell watching this, you know, online, because, again, screw the Whitmore Center. I'm not giving UNH a dime of my money. Those people suck. And I'm going to stand on business when I say that. But, yeah, dude, tough look all around on that goal. But, you know, I tend to kind of, like, roast other fans with it. Like, I think a classic example came as Soap. I feel like Soap's a massive proponent of people, of, like, goaltenders not playing the puck. She's like, get back in your net, stay in your net under all circumstances. And I'm like, but this is a pivotal part of defense and controlling the puck. And then she's like, no. And then she can just point to this and call me an idiot. And I'm like, well, you know, it is what it is. You know what I mean? So I get the point of people that are saying, you know, you know, stay in the net, like, you know, that's your home basically. But I don't know, this was kind of just one of those freak incidents and it kind of sucks. But the way that I looked at it is, if this is the goal that we're giving them right now and they didn't actually earn it, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, at least they're not outplaying us. You know what I mean? We kind of gifted them that one. It is what it is. I was confident enough that we'd be able to score again.
Yeah, it felt like it shouldn't be a tie game, but it was. And you're right. UMass is able to score again near the end of the first period. They find themselves on the power play this time. And a similar play to one that we've been seeing a few other times lately. Pass from Larry Keenan to Daniel Yenchko, who's down at the bottom of the right side faceoff dot. Very similar to the classic, like, Alexander Ovechkin play, power play one-timer, but just on the opposite side. Nice little quick one-time slap shot from Yenchko. Finds the back of the net. He's done that a few times over the last couple games on the power play. And absolutely fantastic to see him getting his scoring rhythm back. This is the guy that I felt like we had in the playoffs last season, and it's finally starting to come out at the absolute perfect time right now.
Dude, 100%. I mean, I've said this the past couple weeks now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a big fan of Yenchko's game. You know what I mean? And I think that he maybe has turned a corner a bit recently. Like, he's been playing, like, he's been scoring, I think, is the big thing, obviously. You know what I mean? And a lot of them, you know, I think might be his last two goals now, I think, have been damn near identical to one another. I think, like, you have Ovechkin's office, which is like the left faceoff dot, and then you have Yenchko's office, which is the right faceoff dot, like, pretty obvious. Yep. And I think both of his more recent goals have been power play markers off of that exact same play. Like, Keenan has the puck, you know, top of the point, basically, a little no look kind of forehand pass over to him, and Yenchko just fucking buries it. Like, should I say the line cam, or do we think it's not? All right, certified piss missile from Yenchko. Yep. There. I mean, unbelievable snipe there. So, you know, you beat the goaltender clean like that, especially, you know, again, our power play for this season has not been great. You know what I mean? But it has been picking up steam a little bit over the past, you know, I'd say maybe 3 to 4 weeks now. Like, we're figuring it out. We're getting there. The special teams are coming along, both on the power play front and the shorthanded front. You know, like we just talked about, you know, Keenan's goal. So I think that's the special teams is looking a lot better, and it's helping us win games for sure.
Yeah, and that was right at the end of the first period. They go into the intermission 2-1. No scoring in the second period. I wouldn't say it was totally even. And I personally thought that UNH got the better of the licks in the second. They just weren't able to solve Rabble because nobody is lately. I think the shot totals after two were 20-11 in favor of UNH.
Yeah.
It's kind of a tough, like, the last three games, including this one for UMass, have not been getting a lot of shots. It's been an average of like 5 or 6 shots a period, which usually is not going to get it done. I was kind of harping on that in the moment, but look back to some games beyond that. It wasn't a problem before. So kind of just like a weird trend of not being able to get a ton of scoring chances. But hey, I guess we are making the most of the ones that we do get. So that is all that matters at the end of the day.
I think I floated an idea to you, I think at Mullins on Thursday when we played BC. It was something crazy. And for the record, I'm not condoning this as an actual thing that people should do for legal sake. But I think every period you get 10 shots assigned to you. And you don't have to take a shot of, like, alcohol or something like that for every shot that UMass gets in the period, up to 10 shots, if that makes any sense. So, like, if UMass gets 7 shots in the period, you only got to do 3 shots for that period. Like, that would be a ridiculous drinking game. And, normally, like, with any normal team, I feel like that should be a pretty easily attainable goal for each period. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you get, like, 8 or 9 shots, a shot or 2 a period, whatever. You're having a little bit of fun with some friends. But, like, with the way that UMass has been operating, bro, people would be getting hammered by the second period, like, minimum. Like, that would be a horrendous idea. So I'm obviously not condoning that as something legitimate to do. But if you're just hanging out with some friends in your dorm room, if anybody's listening, have some fun on a Friday. Well, what you should be doing is be at the game. But if you're watching, you know, an away game or whatever, have some fun with it. Why not? Maybe I'll try it one of these times. But, yeah, dude, we got to get the shots up, seriously. You know what I mean? Like, shoot or shoot. What's the classic phrase from The Office or Michael Jordan or Wayne Gretzky or whatever? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Whatever, Michael Scott. Yeah, exactly. Whatever. But, yeah, dude, like, again, it's about getting quality scoring chances, and it's about putting pucks in the back of the net. we might not be out shooting our opponents, but we're outscoring them, and that's what matters. I think the biggest thing here is, I mean, especially for the second period, was just how good our penalty kill was. You know, for the most part, like, we looked really soft. Like, Del Elte got called for a hold. Olvestad got called, you know, for a penalty. Like, we were able to stave those off, and a lot of that is from Hrabal's immaculate goaltending. So, again, all roads lead back to Hrabal, as it tends to do. But, yeah, man, we were holding them off for quite a bit in this game.
Yeah, and we weren't able to hold them off at the start of the third period. 5 minutes in, this is the goal I detailed earlier. It wasn't on the power play, but it was a face-off in the defensive zone. I think UMass had lost like four or five face-offs in a row at this point, and this one is the one that bites them. Quick wrister off the face-off, finds the back of the net. And it's 2-2 UNH. With all the demons that we have in this building and everything going on, man, this was not a good one to give up. I was not very happy with the way the game was at in this part of the third period.
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it and say that I was smiling at this point. You know what I mean? Like, I definitely had my doubts and my reservations and reasons to be nervous and anxious, as I tend to be. What I will say, though, and Cam, I think I again talked about this in the BC game, but it feels like for the past, like, you know, for most of the season, I'm not going to say that, like, I lost, like my spark for UMass hockey, but, like, I remember last year, and, like, especially, like, before, like, it wasn't the Denver game, obviously, but, you know, definitely the Denver game a couple years ago, you know what I mean? Like, dude, you remember, like, my Fitbit going off for, like, 150 beats per minute in a game? Like,
that was me in the BC game, I guess.
And that's what I'm saying, like, and that's what I was going to say, you know, like, that BC game, I remember looking over to you, and I was like, dude, it's back. Like I feel something in my stomach again, like, before the game even started. I was like, oh, shit, like, we're so back. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what this team has brought it back for me. You know what I mean? And, like, if whether I'm feeling positive anxiousness or negative anxiousness, like, this moment in the UNH game right here, completely negative. Like, I was like, oh, shit, like, oh, my God, like, I wanted to puke. You know what I mean? I was just so nervous and anxious. But there was just something in the back of my brain that was just like, we got to pull this out. Like it almost feels like UMass at this point has plot armor. You know what I mean? Like, we're just finding a way. Like, I don't know what a good example of this. There's probably like some sort of like Game of Thrones character or some shit, probably Jon Stark or something, but there's some insane levels of plot armor with UMass right now. And we just continuously, it just felt like we were going to find a way, because we have been over the past couple weeks now. So I still had a little bit of positivity in me.
Yeah, time was ticking down in the third, just a few minutes left. The puck is in UMass's zone, and you see Jack Galanik with a pretty tough hit. I thought at the moment it definitely should have been boarding. I wasn't thinking major in my head when we saw it, but definitely boarding. No call. I mean, these refs were swallowing their whistles for the entire third period, it seemed like. And then coming down the other way, UConn's fans, UConn's players, they're all up in arms about it. And in the chaos, UMass takes the puck down the other end. It's behind the goal, and Matthew Wild is able to clean up a loose puck. I mean, if you watch the replay back, it doesn't look like there's any space between the goalie and the post to get the puck through. But he just, again, UMass is plot armor. He just wills it through. His first goal as a Minuteman, which is incredible. We were all watching thinking UNH is definitely going to challenge this, and this goal might get taken back. It was a really crazy moment. They took a while on the replay. They came back and they said no major penalty, so the goal counts. And just a wild turn of events right here. No pun intended.
No, I think the pun was fully intended, and it should be, because holy shit, dude. Like, wild end of the game. Like, Wild would have take the lead. Whatever you want to say, there's something for it. But, yeah, I'm like 99% sure he banked this off the goalie. Like, yeah. Like, that was just nuts, dude. Like, and again, let's be honest here. Like, we can kind of be honest with ourselves here. I wouldn't exactly say that Matthew Wild's, you know, season at UMass has been stellar. You know what I mean? Like, he's been in and out of the lineup. That was his first goal. It's giving a Joey Musa vibes a little bit. You know what I mean? like literally scoring in the final regular season game. Like, that's how you get your first. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy, right? But it's all about coming up big when it matters. You know what I mean? And that if this is going to be his major contribution to UMass's season, hell yeah. You know what I mean? It's something. You know what I mean? Like, that's a huge moment. You know, really happy for him. You know what I mean? Like, he's been, I guess, slowly being kind of integrated back in the lineup. I have no idea what next season holds for him. We'll figure that out once the offseason comes around. But, dude, hell of a goal, hell of a time to get it, and we're kind of flying here. You know, life's good again.
Yeah, these final 5 minutes of this game, though, were five of the craziest minutes you'll ever watch in a hockey game, and I'm not even exaggerating there. In the aftermath of not getting a major penalty called, UNH immediately turns around and commits what should have been two penalties. You felt like the first one was fair. I mean, they get UMass back, no call. It is what it is, tit for tat kind of thing. Then the second one comes, and you're like, all right, the refs got to call that, and they don't. UNH pulls the goalie, and there are six skaters on the ice while the goalie is still on the ice. Everybody's up in arms thinking it should have been a too many men call. The referees actually call a premature substitution in the moment. Everybody's up in arms. What in the world is that? Never heard of that before. Apparently, they called the rule correctly. We have our own thoughts on that rule, but they did call that correctly. And then later on, UNH ices the puck, and they don't call that either. Refs, big-time part of the conversation at the end of the third. UMass is able to hold on, get the empty netter from Jack Olenek. They win 4-2. But, man, I can't remember being at that level of a combination of stressed and, like, yelling at my TV as I was in those last 5 minutes.
Dude, what an end. You know, like, that – all right, what do we want to attack first? Because I feel like there's so many things to discuss. I mean, I feel like the big one is – and I feel like we're no stranger to weird rule controversies. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But – I think, you know, we definitely had our kind of national moment the previous week when it came to maybe delay of game penalties being added to the rule book for lighting malfunctions. Now I feel like we should maybe start removing some rules, or at least making amendments to rules, because I don't know, man, like the way that rule is written, and I don't want to go off on too much of a rant here, but like if you're basically saying that if you're in the process of pulling your goaltender, and as such, you get too many men on the ice, you're just completely absolved of any sort of too many men on the ice penalty. Now, how does that discretion, how does that work? How do you make that judgment call? Like, because if I wanted to be an asshole, right, and like really challenge the rule book, if I was Carvey, why wouldn't just whenever the puck is in our possession in the offensive zone, why don't we just have Rabble slightly out of the crease? And then anytime we get too many men on the ice, we'll just say, oh, we were thinking about pulling the goalie. Oh, he was drifting towards, you know what I mean? Like, how do you make that determination? Like, I feel like it shouldn't matter whether you're pulling the goalie or you're just doing a line change. Like, how many friggin' people are on the ice? This isn't hard. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, I just don't see how one scenario is too many men and then the other scenario where, frankly, it's even more obvious that you're pulling your goaltender. Like, how hard did you just tell your extra skater, hey, man, wait until the goalie's on the bench before going out there? That's how these things have always worked. You know what I mean? Like, this shouldn't be something where there needs to be a special rule for it. And again, you know what? I called them out in the moment. I said, you know, what the hell are these refs doing? They followed the rule book. I can't even be mad about that. You know what I mean? I'm not mad at the refs. I'm mad about how stupidly worded the actual rule is. Like, that's genuinely insane. So, again, it's starting to get to the point where, again, in classic UMass fashion, we're just at the center of everything. You know what I mean? Whether it's good or bad. You know what I mean? Like, stuff just tends to follow UMass in some way, shape, or form. So if we're going to talk about, you know, potentially adding in, like, a delay of game penalty for lighting fuck-ups, I think we might need to address this one as well, because I think there's something definitely to be said there. I don't want to dominate the conversation, Cam. I don't know if you have anything to add there, but I don't know. Hopefully I'm not completely off my rocker with some of these ideas here.
Hey, it's all coming up UMass, baby. How it is right now.
Understood.
Love getting the win. Yeah, I could delve into how much I disagreed with the third period being called the way it was, especially in the last 5 minutes. It was very egregious, but we won. We got all 3 points.
Yes, sir.
Nothing to look back on. Just move forward. And this game locked up the second place Hockey East finish. Kept us alive in the NPI rankings. Like, life is good after this. It was kind of funny after all of this chaos. Finally, the final buzzer is when the U.S. went on their big run against Great Britain in the WBC. So I had the two screens rocking, just going crazy. in my living room. It was a fun night, some good stuff. And after all of it, best thing, UMass still alive, man. It feels good.
Dude, I'm ready for this postseason. Like, genuinely. Like, I need it badly. Like, and I think the biggest thing here, and like, I think it was almost a foregone conclusion after the previous week, but, well, maybe not a foregone conclusion, but like, for the most part, I mean, we locked up the first round bye. Like, that's huge. Like, because I think what we normally be playing, what is that, Wednesday? I think they usually play those games. Yep. So, I mean, pretty happy with the fact I don't have to trek all the way up to UMass on a random Wednesday. Like, no offense, love going to UMass, but like, that's a crazy drive, man, especially on a Wednesday. You know, like, I know I just did that literally this week on a Thursday, but like, if I can limit that, you know what I mean, that would be ideal. And I mean, shout out to whoever the hell did the scheduling for these Hockey East games, but heading out to UMass on a Saturday for a 4 p.m. game, hell yes. Like, I don't know, call me crazy. I think all games should be scheduled like that. I feel like it's BS that I got to head all the way back home and, you know, come back at probably 11:30 bare minimum, you know what I mean, on a Saturday. But it's neither here nor there. It is what it is. I'm the one that signed up for this. I know where I live. It is what it is. But definitely happy to have ourselves a bit of an earlier start time. I may, you know, spend the whole day out in Amherst on Saturday, hit up the hangar. I don't know where the hell we're going to be, but definitely, you know, spend a bunch of time, you know, getting ready for this game. And I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Certainly makes it easier for the two of us to fly to Miami at 6 a.m. on Sunday, huh?
Yo, I forgot all. Shit. That's going to be tough. Wait a second. I was just thinking about that. How are we going to do that? Like, I mean, I'll obviously get home at like, what, 9:30, just go to bed immediately, hopefully in a great mood. And then
we'll have to record in Miami.
Yo, I didn't even think about that. Nope. Yeah, dude. Understood. Well, all right. That might be a drunk pod considering where I'm going to be in Miami, but we'll see how that goes. Cause yeah, we'll be hitting up the WBC, both semis and the final, dude. Like, we don't have to get into all that, but yeah,
I'm lock into the Patreon. That'll be detailed in the newsletter and stuff.
True. There, but you guys will probably be seeing some crazy photos that can't be taken from there. So we'll see how that goes.
The stuff that can't go on normal social media. Yes, sir.
High character takes Miami. We're ready for it, but it'll be fun.
Our little precursor to taking Vegas for the Frozen Four, right?
Hopefully, brother. Let's take it a day at a time. We'll get there.
Yeah. All right. Anything left from these two games before we get into our awards?
I don't think so, man.
All right. So let's jump into it. First award we give out, CCC, Carville's Character and Compete Award. I feel like it's been a while since this guy got it. Kind of just have to the last week of the regular season. We're giving it to the captain, Owen Murray. He's been on a hot streak scoring lately. He had the goal in the first game, the game-winning goal in our first home game against BC in 7 years. That does something to you. That feels real good right there. And he's just been all over the ice and defensively, offensively. He won Hockey East Defender of the Week this week. Like, the guy is absolutely shining at the right time. And, like, for how much, like you were talking about, how hype he gets, how good of a captain he is to shine when the lights are brightest like this. It's given vibes to Bollinger a couple years ago, Captain Clutch, like same kind of equivalent there. A
little bit. I mean, I will say I floated the idea of Keenan maybe being this, but I think the best way to put it is my brain is telling me Keenan, my heart's telling me Murray. You know what I mean? Like, just purely on vibes, like he, like that goal, that goal that he scored is just unbelievable. You know what I mean? Like, just literally a minute later, just immediately take it back. Mullins is rocking. Like, objectively, we're going to talk about a goal of the weekend. I mean, Larry Keenan wraps that up, no doubt. You know what I mean? Like, just shorthanded, he did that. But, again, man, just Murray, like, again, there's context with these things. I love using the word context on this pod. I feel like it's probably the most used word that I've used in the past, like, 2 or 3 months so far. But, dude, I mean, Murray's just him. You know what I mean? And I feel like you could definitely have made a case for Grabble as well. Like, there was a lot of good things that happened this weekend. You know what I mean? It sucks that, I mean, I guess we don't have to only pick one, but historically we've basically always had one CCC. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think we've had a couple of gag ones where we're like, oh, the whole team. And honestly, I don't really think this would have been a bad weekend to do that either. But, you know, we stuck with Murray. I love the choice. I mean, he's going to go down as one of the more memorable captains in UMass history, I think. And definitely a great weekend for him for sure.
Yeah, I might be delusional, but we'll have a whole extra year to give CCCs to Keenan. This is Murray's last shot at some awards here, and well-deserved, for sure.
Yes, sir.
All right. Next award we give out. Good try, UMass. Somebody we'd like to do a bit better out there next time. And it's been an interesting – we've been on such a hot streak. It's been interesting for us trying to select the recipient of the Good Try Award. And you get 6 points when you – there is no alternative. You need to get 6 points. Everybody got the job done. Everybody contributed. We're not giving out a good try this week. I feel like that's fair. Last week of the regular season, got all the points. I mean, if you want to give it to anything, maybe we give it to the college hockey rule book for the premature substitution rule. We can do that. But, yeah, nobody on UMass is deserving this week in our eyes.
No, sir. We did what we had to do. That's all that matters. That's it.
That's all I got.
Literally. I mean, what else is there to say, man? I mean, we just described both of these games. I mean, yeah, you can say that there were some minor screw-ups. You know what I mean? Like, again, like we talked about Lieberman. You know what I mean? Like a couple of, like, nobody was, I would say, perfect on the weekend. You know what I mean? But not enough, and especially considering the vibes of this episode. You know what I mean? Like, we're doing just fine. So, again, locked up the number two seed. I think we might be giving the good try award to whoever the hell we play next Saturday. You know what I mean? Like, you know, retroactively. But nobody on UMass for this time around, for sure.
All right, good stuff. You know what? I'll give my award first.
Let's go. Take the initiative, Cam. Hell yeah.
I'll take the first one. I'm going out off the deep end here. I'm giving out the iPhone 8 award. You guys are familiar. That's the last iPhone that you needed your fingerprint to get in, had that button. And another guy who had his fingerprints all over, especially the end of this second game, was Jack Galanik. I mean, he's the guy that had the non-boarding call that they reviewed for a major. He didn't get it. He's the one that scored the goal. The empty net goal in that game. He has his fingerprints over every game this season. He's been incredible, like in terms of how much he's been in the mix as a freshman. I know Carvey talks about it a lot. He's a guy that he can trust right away, which is rare for first year guys like this. And it's just such a nice problem, not a problem. It's such a nice thing to have when you have a season where you lose so many centers and this guy can just slide in and be that guy, and he's getting better every game. He's got his fingerprints over every game, and it's awesome to see.
Freaking love Jack Galanik's game, man. I mean, I just have not been able to shut up about this kid, like, basically ever since he committed. Like, he's been, in my eyes, one of the most underrated, just, like, I mean, players in general. You know what I mean? Like, was almost a point-per-game guy, I think, in Muskegon, you know, like, last year, playing alongside Nestorcil. Everybody was crapping their pants about Nestorcil, me included. I'm not going to sit here and act like I didn't. But, like, Jack Galanik was a big-ass part of that. You know what I mean? Like, he was the playmaker to, you know, Vaslav kind of being the finisher. And, you know, even though it kind of felt like Vaslav kind of, like, fell off a bit in the kind of the second half of the season, I feel like Galanik maybe, like, he didn't really fall off. But, like, yeah, the scoring wasn't exactly as much there. But he was doing so many other things that aren't on the score sheet. You know what I mean? Like, great in the faceoff dot, playing honestly just a bunch of hockey, you know what I mean, as a freshman. Like, this dude's probably averaging like 18 to 20 minutes a night, you know what I mean? And like, again, as a younger guy, I mean, being thrust into that big of a role, like, this was a role that a guy like Mercury was doing, you know what I mean? Like, stuff like that, like guys that are experienced and, like, you know, they kind of work their way up to that level of play time. We basically said, hey, Galanik, figure it out, buddy. We're throwing you right into this, and that's because he can do it. Like, I'm still shocked that he hasn't been drafted. I think this might be his last year of NHL draft eligibility. I'd be shocked if a team didn't take a freaking late flyer on him. You know what I mean? Like a seventh rounder, just because, you know what I mean? Like, he's shown enough at this point to say that, you know, hey, I could be a guy later on, you know, and he's been developing every year. He was like a 100-point kid at freaking Shattuck. You know what I mean? Like, that's like one of the premier prep programs in, you know, all of hockey. So, I mean, love the kid's game. He's great. Hell yeah, dude. He rocks.
Good stuff. And you mentioned Nestorcil. I'll just give a quick update on his 30-point pursuit. He's at 28 with zero regular season games remaining. So who knows how many games he'll get those two goals, but your prediction could not have come down to the wire any more than it has.
I'll be honest, even if he doesn't get it, I was close. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sitting here to be close, but like from what started as an undrafted player who, like, you know, I think when I, at the time that I made that tweet, it was like literally a couple days after he committed. I like, I don't even know where the idea came from. You know, I was just like, I don't know. I kind of like the look of this kid. Like, he just kind of spoke to me. You know what I mean? And then he goes from being like a late round guy to a first round guy. And now he's, you know, killing it at UMass on the first line. I mean, I can just see things sometimes, man. Like, whenever I find guys that I like, whenever I find my UMass guy, he tends to pan out. You know what I mean? Like, so it is what it is. I mean, I think I got to do like a bit of like a historical record of like my predictions on guys and if they've hit or not. Because what I will say, if I have some shitty takes on Twitter, it is what it is. But at least I don't like delete them. You know what I mean? Like, I keep them. I own it. You know what I mean? Like, I can look back through this stuff and see if I was right or wrong. I think it's fun. I'm allowed to be wrong. I can laugh at myself. I'm not like I don't know. You can argue maybe I'm a professional podcaster because we have a Patreon for it now and like people are paying for our content. But like, this isn't my day job. You know what I mean? I'm a freaking engineer by trade. I like doing this stuff for fun. So it is what it is. But yeah, I got to look back at that. But the fact that we're even at 28 points in the freshman year, hell yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't expecting to take it that seriously, but he's definitely showing out and he's been a very, very effective contributor for UMass this season.
He has. All right. Hopefully your next award's not for him, but what are you giving out
for
yours?
No, it's not. Actually, I'm taking a bit of a weird route here, and I'm giving it to the two teams that we played. So I'm giving this one out to BC and UNH. I'm calling it the very aptly and crudely named Figure It Out Award, just due to all the freaking too many men moments that happened in these last two games. I mean, BC had two, I think it was in the first 10 minutes of the first period. Like, it wasn't even the whole period. So, like, I think I remember making a joke for you, I think, in that first period that, like, they're on track for, like, I think it was, like, 12 or something, like, freaking too many men calls throughout the game. And I was actually curious how many, like, what the record was for most too many men calls by a single team in a game. I didn't end up looking it up. Maybe I'll find it out later and, you know, append it at some point. But, yeah, I mean, that was super weird. And then, obviously, with our giant goalie substitution fiasco from the UNH game, there's a lot of weird moments, man. Like, and don't get me wrong, if you were to ask me as a fan of UMass last year if we knew how to figure it out, I'd tell you, hell no. You know what I mean? Like, we were terrible at line changes last year for, you know, a couple of weeks. You know, it was like a good, like, month or two stretch where, like, we just couldn't buy ourselves a normal freaking line change. But, yeah, so it is what it is. Shout out to UMass. There are a couple of things that I did want to mention. I mean, I don't know if they're directly related to this, but, I mean, least amount of penalties in Hockey East, like, one of the most disciplined teams.
Again.
That's freaking awesome. You know what I mean? Like, again, where we've had some boneheaded players in the past that would take dumb penalties at times. I'm not going to name names. But, you know, we've been doing well on that front. You know what I mean? So very disciplined, especially, you know, considering, I mean, we do still have some, you know, some kind of grittier guys, you know, some kind of, you know, get under your skin types, you know, on this team. But, again, we keep it to within the rule book, you know what I mean, as much as we can. So that's super, super encouraging. There were a couple other things. I think it was a Nathan Strauss tweet. I'm going to try and look it up real quick because it was a bunch of really, really cool stuff. So just give me like 2 seconds while I look this up. He posted this pretty recently. But
I will say, if I were you, I think I might have called that award the Ghosts of UMass Past Award. It's the mistake that
that would have been so good. God damn it, dude. Also, the other cool thing about the whole, you know, discipline and sportsmanship thing for having the least amount of penalties, we didn't take a friggin' major penalty all year.
That is impressive.
Like, that's, and honestly, I mean, according to you, Ken, that could have been completely ruined in the last game, I think, with that whole Galanic fiasco, but
it wasn't.
Exactly. It wasn't. And that's all that matters. But yeah, so this was the main thing that I wanted to say here. So shout out Nathan Strauss, great friend of the pod. This post has almost 400 likes on Twitter. So just shows you how crazy this stuff is. So UMass was 9-10 and in last place in Hockey East on January 9th. Since then, we are 12-2-1, which is a crazy run. That's where I was going with that.
Yes.
12 wins is number two in the NCAA in that time span. We've had a .955 save percentage, which is the best in the NCAA in that time span. Mind you, this is all Rabble doing that. No other goalie has started a game in that stretch. 22 goals allowed. That's the best in the NCAA in that stretch. And 86 penalty minutes, which is the fewest in the NCAA in that stretch. I mean, Jesus Christ, dude. Like, we jumped over 20 spots in the NPI. We're second place in Hockey East right now. Nothing short of an incredible turnaround. I mean, like, we in the past 2 months have looked like the best team in the nation. You know what I mean? And that's what and I don't want to, again, get too ahead of ourselves here, because there's really not a whole bunch else to talk about in this episode. We can't preview who we're playing. We don't know who the hell we're playing yet until the middle of the week. So I don't know how we're going to navigate that. We might just ask people to do their own research. I don't think we're going to do a dedicated episode just to preview that for 7 minutes.
If a ton of people reach out to us and really want it, then we can, but I don't think it's...
Exactly. So it is what it is. So, I mean, to use up a bit of that time, I mean, that's what's going to really crush me if we don't end up making the national tournament, because over the past couple months, we've looked like the best team in the NCAA. You know what I mean? And again, it might sound like sour grapes, but like, there's just something that feels, in my opinion, fundamentally wrong about, you know, punishing us for, you know, playing an injured goalie against Army. You know what I mean? Like, just, you know, having a couple of screw-ups early on in the season where now we're literally the hottest team and we can make a legitimate run and we might not be able to. Like, I understand, you know, there's so many different counter arguments and there's so many ways for me to be completely incorrect. And I understand that, you know what I mean? But just, you guys know me, I'm a pretty vibes based person. You know what I mean? Not a lot of my opinions are, you know, grounded in reality and fact, but there's just something that just seems so wrong about the best team in the second half of the season, not just in Hockey East, but across all of the NCAA. Somehow just, it wouldn't be enough. It just hurts knowing that going into that winter break, somebody could look me in the eye and say, it does not matter what your team does in the second half, unless winning, you know, the conference championship, which we very well could, but like, it doesn't matter what you guys do. You guys are already out, basically. Like, that just, it hurts on just like a fundamental level. I don't know, but that was the conversation I wanted to bring up. I don't know if you have anything to add to that, Cam, but I don't know.
It just shows that every game's important throughout the season. Like, obviously the Army one is one that you look back to, but I mean, even in the second half that we lost 1-0 to UNH in New Hampshire, I just changed that game to a win on the MPI and we're in 13th, considerably higher than 14th in the decimal number. So like, it's not just the first half. Like, there are little hiccups along the way where every game really does matter. And it's kind of a signature thing for Carby's teams to not start the season very hot, but it just get progressively better as it goes along. We've talked about that a lot. And I mean, and usually it works out the last couple of years. I mean, it's been tight, but we got in. This year, Hockey East just flat out wasn't good enough as a whole. And you got to take care of your business when you can. And Providence did. They're in much better shape than we are, obviously. And we did solid in the second half, but it just shows everything matters. And hopefully we don't have to worry about it. Hopefully we still make the tournament after the dust settles here. But yeah, man, it's crazy. It's so like, it's such a long season in terms of total time, but 34 games really, really isn't much in the grand scheme of things.
Seriously, dude. Like, it genuinely feels like just a month ago where I was like, hey guys, let's see what Mikey D'Angelo can bring to this team. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, it feels like the, you know, the preseason and the offseason was just, it didn't really feel like that long ago. So season flies, man. And it's already starting to settle in. You know what I mean? That like, this is where every game could be your last, you know, like genuinely. And I don't want to speak this into existence, but Saturday could be our last game. You know what I mean? That could
be losing. If we lose, it will be
like 100%. So, I mean, it's scary, dude. Like, I don't know. I'm not trying to get too sentimental with the good weather. This is the first time that I've opened up my window in about 5 months in my house because the weather's actually so good. So I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the sunset or, you know, whatever, but yeah, dude, I'm feeling a bit nostalgic now, but he's not even over yet. You know what I mean? Let's, you know, how does that, there's that one poem like where it's like, do not go gentle into that good night. You know what I mean? Like that's what we got to do. We just got to take it, you know, one game at a time and put our best foot forward. And hopefully not the cards fall, but the pucks will fall as they may. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Let's use this as a rallying cry. Saturday at 4 at Mullins is our quarterfinal game. We don't know the opponent, obviously.
Yes, sir.
But UMass students leave. They have to be out of the dorms by 10 a.m. on Saturday. So we will not have a crazy student section. Trying our best to rally as many as possible and their families to stick around for the game. It's at 4, so it is doable. I urge everybody that can get tickets, go to this game. This team deserves it so much. You saw how well they performed to the the big crowds that we've had these last couple of games here. And these kids deserve it, man. They have gone on a hell of a run. Like Evan said, best team in the country in the second half of the season. They absolutely deserve our support, deserve a rowdy Mullen Center to end the season here. And yeah, I wish I was on the UMass payroll and could like use all of the resources possible trying to promote this game. They did a good like marketing blitz for the basketball game against Miami. This needs to be more than that. Like we have to rally the troops as much as possible. And I'm concerned that we won't see it. That's why I'm saying it right now, but we'll do as much as we can to get the word out that people got to go to this game. I put on Twitter today on the High Character account, this is the biggest game at Mullins since we raised the Natty banner. And I'd like to hear an argument against it because I don't think there is one. I think it's the biggest game since then. So we got to pack the bill. It's going to be fun and hopefully send these guys off to Boston the right way.
Yeah, I was talking to there's a couple of students that are a big fan of the pod, and they were messaging me on Instagram. And I guess so for all the students that are listening in, you still head in with your U card. That's like confirmed. Like you don't have to buy tickets or something like that. I was hearing rumblings. I don't know if it got, you know, sent out to everybody. I don't know if it's like a student thing or not, but like pretty sure they're discounting tickets for this game. Like, so if, you know, you guys know people in the area, like I'll tell you guys a quick story. I'm not going to make this too long, but like UMass was in a very similar situation. I think it was back in 2019 when we were like wicked nasty. And like we made that original freaking, you know, Natty run. And I stayed with a buddy of mine off campus. Shout out Matt Paul. I doubt he's listening right now, but shout out Matt and Kaylee. You guys rock. I literally stayed at his place in the townhouse. It's north of campus just so I could eventually walk over to the freaking game. You know what I mean? Like that's how serious, like I was a psychopath. Like I lived in freaking, you know, regular housing, you know, back then, I think that was my junior year. And like, I still made it work. You know what I mean? Like came back, you know, or like stayed late or whatever, stayed over my buddy's house just so I didn't get kicked off campus. Like do what you guys got to do. I'm not expecting you guys to be as crazy as me. You know what I mean? Like that's a different level of, you know, psychoness, but just make an effort, guys. You know what I mean? Like if people are going to actually go out there and support the basketball team against, like, I understand, like, you know, undefeated opponent and all that. And honestly, it's not like the team did very bad in that game, but like, if we can get people into seats for that game, this is playoffs, baby. You know what I mean? Like, this is what we wait all season for. So, you know, I think the team is good enough to do it without like a crazy fan experience, but like, I don't want to freaking play that. I don't want to risk that. You know what I mean? Like, get the hell out there, support the team. These guys rock, and go UMass. Hell yeah. Like, we'll see.
Yeah, if anybody from UMass is listening to this, please market the hell out of this game. Whatever advertising budget you have left for this.
Yeah, like, what else are you putting it towards? Literally. Like,
I cannot stress enough how big of a game this is and how important it is to have a good home ice advantage. Like, it's crazy. There should be some kind of giveaway. There should be $5 tickets. It should be whatever cost possible to get this place full. And I have my own concerns, but we'll do as much as we can. You guys spread the word as well. Tell all your friends, your family, get them to Mullins. It'll be worthwhile. This will be a fun game for sure.
Cam apparently has his doubts. Let's prove him wrong, eh?
Please.
Need that.
All right. That is everything that we have. We can't preview an opponent because we don't have one yet. But like I said, if you guys really, really want to, we can put out like a 10-minute episode. Just let us know. That is all we had. We'll see you guys at Mullins. I'm not even going to say if you're coming. I'm just going to say we'll see you there because everybody's going to be there. All right?
Yes, sir.
That's all we got. Go UMass.
Go UMass. Take care, everybody. Big-ass game this weekend. I'm going to pregame the hell out of it, so hopefully I'll see you guys at the hangar. And let's go, boys. Let's win.